TED Audio Collective.
This TED Talk features scientist Kate Stone, recorded live at TED 2018.
Canva presents unexplained appearances. It was an ordinary workday until...
That presentation appeared out of thin air.
Also, it's eerily on brand.
Wait, did that agenda just write itself?
Words appear, making this unexplainable case...
Unexplainable? It's Canva's AI tools.
I can generate slides and words in seconds.
Really? The real mystery is why I'm only learning this now.
Canva.com. Designed for work.
This message comes from Apple Card. Earn up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase, every day. Then grow it at 4.50% annual percentage yield when you open a savings account with Apple Card. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card subject to credit approval. Savings available to Apple Card owners subject to eligibility. Savings accounts provided by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Five years ago, I stood on the TED stage and I spoke about my work. But one year later, I had a terrible accident as I left a pub one dark night with friends in Scotland. As we followed the path through a forest, I suddenly felt a massive thud, then a second thud, and I fell to the ground, and I had no idea what had hit me. I later found out that when the gate was opened in a garden, a wild stag stampeded along the path and ran straight into me. And its antler penetrated my trachea and my esophagus and stopped at my spinal cord and fractured my neck. My best friend found me lying on the floor gurgling for help through a hole in my neck. And we locked eyes, and although I couldn't speak, she could understand what I was thinking. And she told me, just breathe. And so whilst focusing on my breath, I had a strong sense of calmness, but I was certain that I was going to die. And somehow I was content with this because I've always tried to do my best in life whenever I can. So I just continued to enjoy each breath as one more moment, one breath in and one breath out. And an ambulance came, I was still fully conscious, and I analyzed everything on the journey because I'm a scientist. The sound of the tires on the road, the frequency of the street lights, and eventually the city street lights. And I thought, maybe I will survive. And then I passed out. I was stabilized at a local hospital and then airlifted to Glasgow, where they reconstructed my throat and put me in a coma. And while I was in the coma, I had many alternate realities. It was like a crazy mix of Westworld and Black Mirror, but that's a whole other story. And my local TV station reported live from outside the hospital of a Cambridge scientist who was in a coma, and they didn't know if she would live or die or walk or talk. And a week later, I woke up from that coma. And that was the first gift. And then I had the gift to think, the gift to move, the gift to breathe, and the gift to eat and to drink. And that took 3.5 months. But there was one thing that I never got back, though, and that was my privacy. The tabloid press made the story about gender. Look, I'm transgender. It's not that big a deal. Like, my hair color or my shoe size is way more interesting. When I last spoke here at TED, I didn't talk about it because it's boring. And one Scottish newspaper ran with the headline, "Sex swap scientist gored by stag," and five others did similar things. And for a minute, I was angry, but then I found my calm place, and what ran through my head was, they've crossed the wrong woman, and they're not going to know what's hit them. Because I'm a kindness ninja. I don't really know what a ninja does, but to me, they slip through the shadows, crawl through the sewers, skip across the rooftops. Before you know it, they're behind you. They don't turn up with an army or complain, and they're laser-focused on a plan. So when I lay in my hospital bed, I thought of my plan to help reduce the chances of them doing this to somebody else by using the system as is and paying the price of sacrificing my privacy. What they told 1 million people, I will tell 10 million people. Because when you're angry, people defend themselves, and so I didn't attack them, and they were defenseless. And I wrote kind and calm letters to these newspapers. And the Sun newspaper, the kind of Fox News of the UK, thanked me for my reasoned approach. And I asked for no apology, no retraction, no money, just an acknowledgement that they broke their own rules and what they did was just wrong. And on this journey, I started to learn who they are, and they began to learn who I am. And we actually became friends. And I've even had a few glasses of wine with Philippa from The Sun since then. And after 3 months, they all agreed, and the statements were published on a Friday, and that was the end of that, or so they thought. On the Saturday, I went on the evening news, and with the headline, 6 national newspapers admit they are wrong. And the anchor said to me, "But don't you think it's our job as journalists to sensationalize a story?" And I said, "I was lay on a forest floor, gored by a stag. Is that not sensational enough?" And I was now writing the headlines. And my favorite one was, "The stag trampled on my throat and the press trampled on my privacy." And it was the most read piece of BBC News online that day. And I was kind of having fun. And by the end of my week of media, I started to use my newfound voice and platform to spread a message of love and kindness. And when I had the minute of anger and hatred towards those press and journalists, I had to identify my inner bigotry towards them. And I had to meet and speak with these people without judgment. And I had to let myself understand them, and in return, they began to understand me. Well, 6 months later, they asked me to join the committee that regulates the press. And a few times a year, I sip tea and dip biscuits with the likes of Daily Mail editor Paul Dacre, who says to me, "So, Kate, how have your last few months been?" And I respect them. And I'm now one of 3 members of the public who has a seat at the table, not because I'm different, but because my voice counts just like anybody else. And the irony is, every now and again, I'm asked to visit those printing presses of this declining industry, because some people think that the technology I spoke about here last time at TED, my interactive print, might actually help save them. So beware of your inner bigot and make friends from your enemies. Thank you.
For more TED Talks, go to TED.com.